Before There Were Hashtags.
A dissection of pop culture past.
With Eric Dallinger.
And Carly Anna Billings.
Each week we hop in our time machine and take a look at the past of pop culture. Hello and welcome to Before There Were Hashtags podcast. I am your host, Eric Dallinger, and I'm here with my beautiful co-host, Carly Billings.
Oh gosh golly, that's me!
It is you. Who else would it be?
Well, you know, we do have another guest. We have someone else here today. We got a guest on our hands.
What? We have a guest?
Ooh. Surprise, surprise.
All the way. Surprise, surprise. All the way from Newfoundland. Our favorite East Coast listener, Matthew, is here.
Ooh, baby.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here.
Have you, Matt?
Yeah.
What a treat.
Well, I mean, let's wait for the episode to be over first before you call it a treat. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Okay.
That's true.
I'll hold my horses. Fine. If I have to.
Matt, how have you been?
Oh, not too shabby. Enjoying the long weekend. Nice weather over here. Can't complain.
Is it nice weather? Because, you know, from the musical Come From Away, they say when it's getting nice, that's when you know you got to be worried. Actually, the actual line.
You know what?
That's a sign it's getting bad. And when the weather's sunny, it's a sign it's getting bad. Something like that.
I'm a terrible East Coaster because I have not listened to Come From Away in its entirety yet. So I should probably just move back. I should leave here. I don't deserve to be here.
They're not gonna let you live there much longer, especially now that you've said it publicly. Like,
I don't think you deserve to be Canadian after that.
I don't deserve to be Canadian even.
Ooh.
Yeah. I probably should have said that in public.
Oh my gosh. How dare you disrespect my alma mater like that?
I do.
It is a Sheridan College property.
Of course.
It was developed at Sheridan.
You know what? Rewind. Retake. I love Come From Away. It is my favorite musical. I listen to it thrice a week for good measure.
Yeah, who's your favorite character? What's your favorite part?
Betty. Betty? Oh. I think she's in the chorus. Yeah, she's one of your ensemble girls.
See, for me, it's a part when they come from away is the part that's for me.
Mm. Oh, yeah. When they come from away.
When they come from away. Yeah.
That's the moment.
And then they leave from here. That's the second best part.
You're already ahead of me, so.
Well.
All right. Well, Matt, why don't you introduce yourself to our listeners? Tell us about yourself.
Of course, yes. My name's Matthew. Howdy. I don't usually say howdy, but it felt right in that moment.
Yes.
And I sing. I teach a little bit. I write some songs. I read comic books. And I like French fries. I really like French fries a lot.
You like French fries?
That's yum! Who doesn't like French fries?
Do you have a particular restaurant you like them from?
Ooh. I mean, McDonald's, I don't think there's anything better than McDonald's fries. I think McDonald's has a monopoly on French fries, right?
Yes. Oh, you know what makes this perfect that you said this? Because now I get to plug my favorite seven boys. Because on the launch of this podcast, the 26th, I think this comes out on, my beautiful BTS boys launched their McDonald's collab in which you can get the BTS meal.
Oh my goodness. You are welcome. You are welcome for just setting you up there.
A 10-piece chicken McNugget meal with Korean barbecue sauce on the side and fries. It's perfect. What a great segue. Thank you, Matt, for letting me talk about my favorite people in the world. And I'm kind of making this joke because I got recently called out this week for talking about BTS every week.
Wait, are you a BTS fan?
Wait, yes. BTS?
Yes.
How do you spell that?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm not exactly sure. I'm dyslexic. Okay.
I didn't realize that you were a fan of theirs. This is brand new information to me.
It's shocking, really.
Stop the presses. I'm sorry, yeah. I still love you.
It's okay.
Just some slight bullying. It's okay.
So me and Matt, we met teaching at an arts institution that shall not be named.
We'll We'll keep it vague, yeah.
Yeah, we'll keep it vague.
But the important thing is we met.
Yes, we met. We were teaching musical theater classes together at this school, this academy.
Yeah. Eric arts. Was the choreographer extraordinaire.
And that was the music director.
I think that for my first, one of the first things I gave you to do was I asked if you could choreograph I Hope I Get It from a chorus line. I was like, I got, and you're like, why? I was like, I just thought it'd be fun. Why not? How hard can it be? I'm not a dancer. I don't know.
You're like, yeah, can we do like the original choreography from a chorus line? And I was like, that's really hard.
Like, you can simplify it. I'm sure it'll be
just
fine.
Just one of the
you're
most iconic dance shows. It's cool. No biggie.
Yeah. Go for it.
It's incredible. That's beautiful.
So, Matt, one of the reasons why I wanted you on the pod is because in some ways, some of our conversations we've had at Starbucks have been kind of the inspiration for this pod.
Oh. Well, you are welcome.
Yeah, well,
I'm kind of like a muse.
You are yes. kind of like a muse. Well, me and Matt would sit down at Starbucks and we would just discuss girl groups for maybe an hour and a half.
And then spend another hour and a half discussing them some more.
Exactly. So who are you? Some of your favorite girl groups there, Matt?
Well, I think that if you've ever heard me breathe before, then you know that the Spice Girls are my religious lords and saviors. Big fan of theirs. Spice Girls are the top ones. If you ever do a podcast on the Spice Girls, let me know. I'll be back. But from there, I mean, you know, Destiny's Child is the big one as well. Girls Aloud, All Saints. I really like British pop as well. So
yeah,
that's where
I get that.
That's where
I get that
from
me
yeah.
that you like.
Yeah.
Because Girls Aloud, it's so funny. I've never really known about them until Drag Race UK and Cheryl Hole.
Cheryl Hole. Who doesn't love
bless
her
heart. Wait. I think that Cheryl Hole is supposed to be on All Stars International, allegedly.
Yeah, the unannounced.
Yes,
All
the
Stars
rumored. I think so.
Yeah. Because you can't have too much Drag Race in one year.
I think we can, and we are there.
I think that Down Under might be proof that you can.
And there it is. We didn't have to say
are
it.
Are you enjoying Down Under? What's your thoughts?
You know, I don't want to bash it too much because I think that, you know, it's serving its purpose, but I'm going to be diplomatic and say it might just not be for me. There's a lot of choices happening. There's a lot going on there that I think, like, if I skip the season, I'd be perfectly content with my life continuing as it is.
That's what I've chosen to do. I've elected to just not engage. Wish okay. everyone well. Just not.
Wish everyone
was one
well.
There has been one iconic moment.
Which one?
That means nothing.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. What a meme.
It was too good.
What a legendary meme.
What a legend. And then she came back with no explanation.
Spoilers!
Oh, sorry. I mean, it's like 3 days old. I'm sorry about
that.
If you haven't watched it
it's
yet.
It's okay at this point.
We should get into the details today. And before we do that, though, we have to gas up our time machine and talk about some of the current pop culture stuff that's going on.
Yeah, we do.
All the fun stuff like that.
I'm part of the time machine segment. I'm so excited.
So good. Okay, I'm going to loading it up. I'm
going to set the clock.
Loading it up just for our audience is me scrolling to get 5 minutes on my timer because I'm not prepared.
We love it.
We are low
tech.
All right. Here we go. Starting in 3, 2, 1. It's going.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think we have to keep going with my BTS boys because they just released Butter and we can't not talk about Butter. It's too good. It broke records.
Did it really? Actually?
What records did it break?
Oh, it's most viewed YouTube video of all time in 24 hours.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Serious? Wow.
Yeah, they beat their own record. They beat Dynamite.
Wow.
Wow.
Good for them.
The top 5 The top five spots are held by only BTS and Blackpink. Yeah. That is the power of K-pop.
Wow.
That's yeah, the passion of those fans, yeah.
I believe the top five at this point, if Butter qualifies, there is, we'll get into that later, is Butter, Dynamite, How You Like That by Blackpink, Ice Cream, Blackpink, Selena Gomez, and then Boy With Love, BTS. But there is some issues with it, because the ARMY is so strong and powerful, they, certain members created bots to watch the video to...
To up the numbers.
Up the view count.
Yeah, baby! Ingenuity!
So, they might be disqualified from the top spot, because YouTube, of course, verifies all its views, so you can't really do that. There's all these rules around viewing, actually. Oh. You have to watch, yeah, you have to watch 30 seconds of a video for it to count as a view. You can't hit the refresh page. If you hit the refresh page, it counts as the same view. It just adds to the percentage. So even if you watch 100%, it will say you watched 200% of the video if you watched it twice and hit either the refresh page or the play again page. So you actually have to go to another video, watch a part of another video, and then go back to the video before for it to count as a like.
That's so much effort.
It is a lot of effort.
That is so much effort that YouTube puts to, like, deter, you know, people,
yeah.
I guess, falsifying views, I guess.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I guess it makes sense, because YouTube pays their creators. If you have enough viewers, they'll pay you. So they don't want like, the creators just, like, hitting refresh on their own videos to pay themselves, right?
Yeah.
Or is this just stuff that I think about? Because
no, it's fair. I mean, it's definitely something that I would think that I would attempt to do if I had a page just to, you know, get up there. So it's good to know that they're watching me for that. So there goes my hopes and dreams.
Big YouTube is always watching.
You can create a playlist of your own videos and just watch them all in order and, like, leave the room and put it on mute. So
you really thought this through.
Oh, you got ways.
I do have ways. In other news, we could talk about the wonderful Demi Lovato coming out as gender nonconforming.
Yeah, very good true. For her. Good or them, sorry.
Yeah, good for them. What a party.
Good for them, yeah.
Yes, so Demi's new pronouns will be they, them. And I was just, like, astonished by how much hate there was online about this.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I missed a lot of it. What were people saying?
Well, Demi has always been a bit of a controversial figure because they are very outspoken about certain things. And recently they got into some trouble about yogurt. Did you hear about the yogurt scandal?
Yes, of course. Yes,
so people
were
being like, let's not forget, and I'm quoting, this is not me saying this, let's not forget this girl, try to tear down a yogurt shop. I don't respect her pronouns for that. She'll always be a she. And I'm like, you can disagree with somebody and still respect their pronouns. Like, you don't have to like somebody to... it drives me nuts.
Yeah, I'm going to go on a limb and say that the frozen yogurt situation and the pronoun situation aren't connected. So we can still respect someone's pronouns and not agree with their stance on the frozen yogurt shop.
This world sometimes makes me sad. Sometimes it makes me very happy when we get music videos like Butter, but then then it makes me sad.
Yeah, no, it is too bad that people kind of lose sight of the fact that more than one thing can be true at the same time.
And luckily that brings us to the end.
Ooh, there it is.
Of our segment of gassing up our time machine. So so today on the pod, now that we have gone to the way back, we are going to be talking about the beautiful, the talented Vanessa Williams.
Yes.
God bless. Love her. What a career.
What a story. I think that I'm I am feeling like I don't quite know how to start this one because there's just...
Sure. Do you want me to jump on in with just a few little niblets, little factoids?
I would love that because there's just a lot of personal stuff in this story, but I also want to cover her career. And, I should give a trigger warning here. There is talks of racism and sexual assault within this story. So if that is not something that you feel like you can handle at this time, please click off and we will see you next week. And we love you. And we just want you to be thinking of your own mental well-being.
Totally. We want you to feel safe and happy and glad to be here. So if you're going to feel comfy, we're totally cool with seeing you next week. But if you're still with us, here we go. So Vanessa Lynn Williams was born on March 18th, 1963, and this Pisces queen is, of course, an American singer, actor, and fashion designer. You know, she does a whole bunch. That is, you know, just the tip of the iceberg. She, of course, is a success on both stage and screen and is probably best known as the first Black Miss America, a title which she won in 1983. And, of course, she's also well known for the scandal surrounding it.
Yes.
She was born in the Bronx, if we want to jump back to her childhood a little, but she was raised in Millwood, New York, not New Jersey. That's not true. New York is right. How dare I? She was Miss New York.
Yeah, the New Yorkers are not going to like you.
They're not going to like me. I didn't. I don't.
We've lost the New York audience. There they go.
New York, come back. I love you.
We lost all 0.03% of New York. That was listening to this pod.
I cry. Anyways, she was raised Catholic, and as a child of music teachers, she studied classical, jazz, and French horn, piano, and violin. So a very talented human being. But her child wasn't all, you know, do-re-mi.
No.
In her 2012 memoir, which she co-wrote with her mother, Helen, you have no idea, she discussed some of her private struggles.
Yeah, so she also talked about this in Oprah's masterclass, and I was watching that video today.
She did, yeah.
So on a vacation to California, her family was staying with family friends, and these family friends had an adult 18-year-old daughter that was living with them. And Vanessa describes this girl as someone that made you want to be an adult. She could kind of convince, she was the cool girl, and she could often sort of persuade people to smoke and drink, and was very persuasive in that way. And one night, this 18-year-old came into Vanessa's room and told her to be quiet and to not say anything as she undressed Vanessa and proceeded to go down on her. Yeah, we're jumping right into it.
We're jumping right in with sexual assault, you know, and that's what we're here for today. That's what we signed up for, unfortunately. But, it's like at such a formative pre-teenage of 10, and then to come into, you know, the sphere of somebody who is 18, like, yeah, what a sad, sad situation, but
awful.
A very understandable one. As well, you know. Yeah,
she described it, quoting, this is a little bit paraphrased, I'm going to try my best, that it awoken her sexuality before it should have, and she does believe that it was responsible for some of her promiscuous behavior that she had growing up in high school, because she was very confused about this act that was done on her, because on one hand, she did describe in the Oprah interview that it did give her pleasure, but she also knew that it was wrong and that she shouldn't have been feeling these ways at such a young age. And she also describes that she didn't feel like she could talk to her parents about the issues, especially because her dad was dealing with the death of his brother at the time, and she didn't feel like she could unload more information upon him.
Totally. Mm. And I mean, again, not to be like, she grew up Catholic, but I also grew up Catholic, and there's a lot of, like, doctrine that's very, you know, out there that could be perceived as very shameful for a young person who, you know, if that's what they're hearing every Sunday at church, then they're like, well, maybe that makes me weird or bad, or, you know. So I'm sure it was a very tough time. Not saying that that was necessarily her experience, because she, of course, wrote about it in her book and all that. But very understandable, just trying to relate the, you know, environment that she was in. She also, during her high school years, ended up having an abortion, which she kept secret from her family at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. So she has stated that she identifies as both pro-choice and a Catholic, and is very thankful for the right of confession. And that her mom, yeah, her mom didn't know that she had this abortion, and she used the excuse of that she was at a school play's rehearsal to go to the abortion clinic and...
I know.
Escape her mom's so questioning.
She's like, Mom, I got rehearsal. I can't today. Such a sad situation that she didn't feel as though she could share that with her mom, who she's very close with, obviously. They literally wrote a book together and, like, have a famously close relationship. But also very interesting to hear, yeah, that she's on, like, a fully out and proud pro-life, not pro-life, sorry, pro-choice Catholic in a pro-life typically, you know,
institution,
religion.
Yeah. Like, institution, like, yeah, yeah, like, yeah. Catholic, like, that's what I went to Catholic school. We had, like, pro-life days. Like, that's just what you do. Like, they went to the pro-life march, like, in Ottawa every year. It was like a trip. I'm lucky that I didn't sign up and go on it, because I am like Vanessa Williams, I guess, in that I too am very pro-choice. But yeah, it's a tough thing to be able to be open about that, I suppose, in certain communities, including hers. She also has dealt with living with type 1 diabetes throughout her life. You know, she's had, like, a lot of trials that weren't in the public sphere until relatively recently for somebody who's been so famous for so long, I think. So yeah, she's super neat. She, of course, after this, went to Syracuse University as a musical theater major. Very relatable. But at the end of her second year, her life was changed forever when she was crowned Miss America.
Yes!
Yes, the moment. Her
the
big moment.
Moment. The capital T, capital M moment.
This was also a huge moment for her, because she was the first Black African-American to win the title ever. So this was such a big,
huge,
momentous moment.
Yeah.
So exciting. And she was so beautiful.
And I just earlier watched her performance of Happy Days Are Here Again that she performed at the pageant.
Oh my goodness. She's incredible. She is such an incredible singer.
Her voice is insane, yes. We'll be talking about her music career, I'm sure.
Yes, we will get into her music career. But this, of course, didn't come without scandal, even before the big scandal. We'll get into the big scandal after. But even when she won, she is quoted as saying, "I was getting hate mail from white people who hate Black people, and hate from Black people who said, 'You're not really Black, because you don't look Black.'" She was given death threats, and often in the south of the states, she would go on these parades, and usually Miss America rides in, like, a convertible Cadillac, and, like, waves to the fans, and she had to be kept in an enclosed car because there was threats that someone would come out and shoot her. So
totally, like, her, they hooked her up with, like, the FBI, and they had, like, snipers on hand. Like, it was very bad, in that she needed so much protection. But can you imagine, like, she's age 20 and she explodes onto the scene.
Yes.
She also originally only decided to do the pageant because she realized she could earn scholarship money. Mm-hmm. Like, she's not even there for the, you know, title, the anything.
She's not a Toddlers and Tiaras girl.
No! She's like, "I like musical theater. I guess I can maybe win some money so I can go to school some more." Like, she's just so sweet. And then, yeah, after her win, because she's incredibly talented and a star, she gets all of this, like, what a 20-year-old who's just trying to win some scholarship money doesn't sign up for. Not that anyone signs up for this kind of hate. Nobody does. But, like, it's just so much. I can't imagine having to, you know, live through all of this, let alone this is before, you know, hell freezes over and, like, the real, quote-unquote, real scandal starts.
Yeah, and this, and the other thing about that same period of time was that she even commented that there's another contestant, Deneen Graham, who also is also mm-hmm. receiving racist backlash. And actually, as far as Deneen Graham, actually had a cross burnt on her front yard because she was the first Black Miss North Carolina. And which I just can't imagine. It's horrifying.
Cannot. And this is the 80s too.
This is the 80s. We're not talking about the 50s. We're
no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We're not talking about the 1800s. This is 1983.
Well, just it goes to show how recent and present and current present. The whole it is. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Matt, you're we can cut any of this if it's like uncomfortable or you don't like it or anything, but you're biracial. Do you want to speak to like what that identity is to you and how that affects your life, all the great things, but also some of the hardships that come along with that?
I'm biracial. I'm Black, Jamaican on one side, and then brown Indian on the other side. So both those come together. But yeah, no, it definitely, I mean, watching someone like Vanessa Williams definitely is an interesting, how do I put this? it just like, I mean, like hearing her story and how recent it is, especially like in happening just in the 80s and backlash she received. Luckily, I mean, I'm very privileged in the sense that I haven't received the level of violence that she was faced with, especially in such a public eye. But, one thing I do find interesting about what she talks about is how she received criticism both from the white side, who was just, you know, outwardly racist, but also there's the part in the Black community where she was told that she's not Black enough to be the first Black Miss America. And there's a lot of nuance to that conversation, which is like probably a whole podcast episode onto itself.
Sure.
Because like you do understand that there is a lot of shadism in the way America and the way Canada work, where yes, you can be Black, but also are you too dark? Because if you're too dark, then you're not considered to be beautiful or a human. So there is like, you know, so I think that it is worth noting that it is important that, you know, there was the conversation about the shadism of her win. And unfortunately, though, that shouldn't take away the fact that she is still the first Black Miss America.
Thank you so much. No, thank you so much for sharing that. It's funny, starting this podcast, I thought it would be really light and fun. And then within just a few podcasts, we've gone into a lot of political stuff. And we thank you so much for your candor and honesty about that topic.
No, of course, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what I was going to say.
No, I was just going to say, like, I mean... We're so polite here. I love it. No, I mean, I also don't want to like speak for, because while I'm a Black Canadian, the Black Canadian experience is also very different to the Black American experience. On top of that, the Black male experience
Absolutely.
Is very different to the Black female experience. So there's like what I mean when I say nuances. There's a lot of different like experiences. It's not a monolithic experience, I guess, is the quickest way for me to say it. So regardless of whatever I'm saying, I'm giving my perspective, but I want to make it clear that I do know that that's very different to what Vanessa would have faced versus what anyone else would have faced at the same time. So
for sure.
Yeah. Mumble, mumble, stutter, stutter, stutter.
Like she did receive a lot of this hate and stuff, you're absolutely right, Matt, that it was very nuanced, because a lot of folks, when they met her, they would cry. They would say, I never thought in my life I would see this happen, as in like a Black woman being crowned Miss America. So it's very individual, like this experience, of course. But it was like, for her, what I read her, like, that was what kind of kept her going. She was like, oh, this is something special for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
So.
For sure.
For sure. The transitions.
Yes, who representation matters. Who knew? Yeah. She's incredible.
So
yeah.
In July 1984, 2 months before the end of her reign, she learns mm-hmm. that nude photos of her that were taken are going to be published in Penthouse magazine.
Yes, without her consent. Which is the most important.
I was. So yeah. These pictures, she was working before she did the Miss America pageant. She was working with a photographer. And the assistant, sorry, as she was working as an assistant, and she was told by the photographer how beautiful she was and how he really wanted to take her picture. And he promised her that A, these pictures would only be silhouettes, and B, they would never be published. So that even if they were seen, you really wouldn't see her face in them. But even then, they probably would never be seen. Also, the photographer also called another friend of his to come pose in the pictures with her. So there's two women in the pictures posing together. And when she had won Miss America, he went to Playboy magazine and tried to sell them to Playboy. And Playboy being classy as it is, decided that they would not publish the pictures without her consent. And so they passed on them. So he went to Penthouse magazine, which is another gentleman's magazine, and they decided to publish the pictures without her consent, and he was paid the highest payment of any photographer in Penthouse history at the time for these photos.
They paid as much money as they could throw at this man for these photos that Vanessa thought were A, private, and B, at this point, she thought they were kind of destroyed.
Yeah. That's right. She didn't even think they existed anymore. It's heartbreaking that, because I mean, there's so many women who have gone through, or so many women, the public eye, who have gone through this, where you think that you shouldn't have to like go back and revisit all the photographs that have been taken of you. You should be able to trust that, you know, people will not be horrible and release these things to the public, because it happened with Paris Hilton, it happened with Kim Kardashian, it happened with Jerry Halliwell. Like, it's been happening. It happens all the time.
Happened with Marilyn Monroe.
It goes back. Yeah.
With Playboy, so, which is ironic that they turned them down this time. So they learned their lesson.
They're like, we shouldn't do that again. Good for Playboy. Yeah, it's really sad. It's just sad. Like, she's. And also, it's, like, right at the end of her reign, which is, like, weird, but also, like, yeah, it's just, as if, like, oh, she's gone through all of this stuff, and then, oh, let's tack one more thing onto it, you know?
Yeah. Because, on top of all the, as we were just discussing, all the racism that you already faced, let's add some slut-shaming in there, why not?
Right? Like, as if she can't, like, she's gone through a year plus of all of this, and then it's of all this racism and all this like full-on, you know, violence, and then suddenly it's like, oh, actually, let's also add some, like, you know, sexual violence in there, because why not?
Like, I have a great quote here, actually, from Hugh Hefner. So the single victim in all of this was the young woman herself, whose right to make the decision was taken away from her. If she wanted to make this kind of statement, that would be her business, but the statement wasn't made by her. And that is the reason why he turned the photos down. However, Penthouse did not have the same sensibility as him at the time.
No, they went the opposite route and threw as much money as they could at this and went, we would like that. Thank you. She signed no release for the photos and then was hit with an incredible, shocking, appalling amount of backlash.
When the photos came to light, she was given 72 hours to renounce her title as Miss America, or else it would be stripped away from her forcefully by the organization. And she tearfully said in a press statement that she didn't really believe that it should be taken away from her, but to keep the integrity of the organization, she'd be willing to give it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All because the Penthouse magazine, which also, by the way, the photos that were published were in what was ultimately the most successful Penthouse issue ever printed, which was like a $14 million profit from a 1 month magazine.
So she lost $2 million worth of endorsement deals due to this scandal.
Such a fallout. Yeah, so much victim blaming, so much just... The fact that also, like, that... the organization didn't stand behind her, like the public didn't stand behind her. It's so sad and disheartening.
Yeah, because she is the victim of the situation, and yet she was made out to seem like the villain in the situation.
Yeah. Oh, how dare she be promiscuous? She's supposed to be Miss America. Miss America has to have a certain, you know, look to her, a certain, right. you know, personality. Miss America can't pose nude for Penthouse. It's like Miss America didn't pose nude for Penthouse. Her photos yeah. were stolen. Right. But okay, sure.
It's just the whole puritanical yeah. state of America where, you know, totally. There's the huge, like, Madonna horror complex there where you can either be one or the other. God forbid anyone express their sexuality. Unless you're a cis straight male, of course, but.
Yeah, to paraphrase her, she talks about how there was two images. There was the perfect Miss America, mm-hmm. and then there was, I think she described it as like a slut or a whore, and in the middle was this average girl who didn't feel like she really identified with either two images.
And the middle yeah. one was who she actually felt she was. So it's, yeah, she was caught between these two images that the public feels is her, but she's like, but neither of those are me. Which is so sad. She's 20 years old, too. Like, I want to hit that yeah. home again. Like, she's so, she's at the beginning of her career, of her, at her, like, of her life, and she's already gone through all this, scandal.
And it followed her around for a while. Like, she would audition for Broadway shows, and famously she mentions that there was a lyricist wife who quoted as saying, "I will never have that whore in my show." So,
and that wasn't just any lyricist, that yeah. was Ira Gershwin mm-hmm. or Ira Gershwin's wife, yeah,
right.
She didn't name, oh my goodness, you did some investigative drama looking in to find out who that was, Matt.
I had to find out who would say that about her, and surely enough, it was from the Gershwins.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Wowzers. Yeah, she felt that all the drama delayed her career about 10 years, which is like, in performing and acting in Hollywood, that's so mm-hmm. long.
Yeah.
That's a long time to not feel as though your career could be at the top of its game.
I mean, especially when it's not something that you've done, especially when it's something that's been done to you and yeah. you're suffering for
exactly.
it. Yeah.
Exactly.
Just to kind of cap off the Miss America stuff, we're going to jump a little bit to 2015.
Sure. Ooh, love that for us.
Yeah, just to end it a little bit on a bit of a happier note. So in 2015, she became the head judge of the Miss America pageant. And during the live broadcast, the leader of the organization is quoted, said publicly to on the live broadcast that, and he, okay, here it is. "Though none of us currently in the organization were involved, on behalf of today's organization, I want to apologize to you and your mother. I want to apologize for any of the harm we caused when you were Miss America, and Miss America, you will always be."
Long overdue, but I'm glad they said it.
Yeah, long overdue.
32 years overdue, but she is and always will be Miss America. That's beautiful.
And that yeah. Miss America was kind of her coming back. She did it. Full circle. Yeah. Now she's the judge of Miss America.
Yeah. Full circle mm-hmm. moment. She's on top of the world.
Yeah, yeah, I remember watching that live, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Satisfying.
Very satisfying, yeah. And she got to perform her song, "Oh, How the Years Go By."
She did.
At the yes. which, I mean, is just a very, you know, appropriate song to sing in that moment.
Yeah. All right. Do we want to move on to her music career? Oh, because girl can sing.
Oh.
Yes, I'm let's. Ready to. Yes. Yes, let's. Speaking of her beautiful angel voice, yes, let's.
Well, we have her first album that came out in 1988.
Yes.
The Right Stuff. Have you guys seen the video for the song The Right Stuff?
No.
I don't know if I have. I totally did it watch a bunch of music videos. This one I didn't get to.
It's the most colorful thing in the entire world. It will just make your heart sing.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to have to watch it after this. That sounds beautiful.
And then on that same yeah. album, she has He Got the Look, and it found similar success on the chart as The Right Stuff. But her third single, Dreamin', was a pop hit, and it became her first top 10 hit on the Billboard Hot 100, peaking at number 8.
Yes, and her second album, The Comfort Zone, that is my favorite album of hers. It is just like early 90s pop R&B greatness.
Beautiful. Yes.
Running Back to You, my favorite song of hers. it actually in the video for she did a cover for of a song Work
To Yes, Do. I was just about to talk about this.
Yes.
Yeah, what were you gonna say?
Oh, go ahead. I was just gonna say, like, that's one of the music videos I watched today, and it's just very, very progressive, you know? I think it has a bit of they're climbing ladders as females. It has sort of a message of moving up work equality. Also, she wears a red ribbon for AIDS.
Exactly, yeah.
We'd love to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, she's always been a bit of a, not a bit of a, she is an ally of the LGBT community, and we love that for her. We also forgot to mention that during her first album cycle, she was nominated for Best New Artist at the Grammys and also earned herself an NAACP Image Award.
Totally. Totally.
Oh, sorry. Lies. Not a Grammy. She was nominated for 3 Grammys.
Oh, even better.
She's talented.
Even better.
Including Best New Artist.
Come on, not once, not twice, but thrice.
And then The Comfort Zone earned her 5 Grammy Award nominations because girl is talented.
Yeah. And her, the ballad from there, Save the Best for Last, that was a huge, that was her first number one, I think.
Yes,
huge.
It reached number one in the U.S. Yeah, she's so funny, huge. Too. I was watching an interview with her today, and she was like, she was asked, what's your favorite love song that you sang? And she said, Save the Best for Last. It's made me a lot of money.
Yes. She's incredible. Win-win.
That's fantastic.
What a winner.
Mm-hmm. And that second album would go platinum in the United States and very successful gold in Canada. So she is definitely a talent. And then her third album is Sweetest Days, released in 1994, and it had highly favorable reviews. It also...
Yeah, she got jazzier with that
jazzy.
One.
True. With Hit the Dance Hit the Way That You Love was the title track, and it was certified at platinum in the U.S. and earned her 2 Grammy Award nominations. I kind of feel bad for her. She's a bit of like the Glenn Close of the Grammys because she's never won.
Yeah, she is kind of the Glenn Close of the situation.
Just happy to be nominated.
I mean, at the end of the day, awards, I don't even know if I really... We talk a lot about awards because it's a way to quantify success on
a
podcast.
It's a benchmark of sorts.
It's a benchmark of sorts, but I don't know if awards mean as much as we should give them credit for.
Surprise, they don't. They're just picked by a select group of people. Duh.
Well, exactly. I mean, I don't think anyone should, you know, govern their likes and dislikes based on what's won an award.
Oh, I suddenly don't like her enough. She doesn't have any awards. Like, no.
How dare she?
How dare? Can't possibly lend my likes if there's no awards.
And we can't talk about her music career without getting into Colors of the Wind. For the Pocahontas soundtrack.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
Which was the first time I remember seeing Vanessa Williams on TV was during the Colors of the Wind music video playing on the Family Channel.
Oh, that's so true.
Yeah, I might be dating myself a little bit with that.
She isn't the one that sings it in the movie, though. Like, it's the classic, like, Lea Salonga sings Reflections, and then Christina Aguilera sings it, the pop version.
Yeah, it's Judy. Who is it? Judy Kuhn.
Yes, Judy Kuhn.
Who sings it in the?
Totally.
Yes, and then she sang the pop version of it. Yeah. And I mean, to be honest, I'm not gonna lie. I do prefer the movie version over the pop version, as I usually do with Disney songs. But it's still Vanessa Williams.
Right. It's no one's gonna say no, thank you for Vanessa Williams' number.
I did get a lot of hate one time when Idina Menzel was singing Frozen on the Academy Awards, and she butchered the last high note. When she was Adele Dazeem.
Correct.
This isn't fair that...
Adele Dazeem as Idina Menzel.
Yeah.
Or Idina Menzel as Adele Dazeem. Yeah.
But I wrote after on Facebook.
Her drag name.
Maybe they should have got Demi to do it, and people were not happy with me.
No.
The controversy
you
courted.
Yeah, you're a Demi stan, and Demi
I am a Demi
for some
stan.
Reason a controversial figure. They really are.
Yeah. I mean, in fairness to you, there's no reason Idina couldn't lower that a key.
Just like
a tone or two.
Help
just
herself,
help yourself out.
Part.
She's
also introduced as Adele Dazeem.
Yeah.
That would throw me personally. I'd be like, hello? Is that supposed to be me?
The wickedly talented Adele Dazeem.
Adele Dazeem.
Identity crisis on stage at the Oscars.
The best thing ever.
Back to Vanessa. Oh,
no. Back to one of the other best things there are.
Back to Vanessa, yes.
She also released two Christmas albums. Two Christmas albums. Yes.
I love these Christmas albums.
Yeah.
Her version of Hark the Herald Angels Sing is a bop.
Move over, Mariah Carey. True queen of Christmas coming through. Just kidding. We love you, Mariah. We love you.
I'm just saying.
We know you're listening, Mariah. We love you. It's fine.
We know you're listening. So Vanessa Williams releases Starbright in 1996 and Silver and Gold in 2004. And those are her two Christmas albums. And yeah, she has a huge music career and kind of forgotten about. Like, I have to say, I had to look up most of her music career. I know her more for as an actress and for having a Miss America scandal. But even, sorry, going back to the Miss America scandal, it's just interesting how it got painted to people, because my mother, I was watching one of her movies. My mother, when I was young, my mother was like, oh, that's Vanessa Williams. Like, she lost Miss America because she took pictures for Penthouse. And like, while researching, that's not what happened. But that's how it was told to everybody. Sorry, that was tangent going back. But
right.
Yeah.
And I guess if you're not to get like a deep dive for a podcast episode about it, and you're just fed it by the media at the time, then that's what you're going
to
think. Yeah.
All right. Do we want to move on to some of her acting career?
Yes, because she is a queen of stage and screen. Of course.
Queen
of stage and screen. We love her.
So during her reign as Miss America, she was on a 1984 episode of The Love Boat.
The Love Boat. She loves it.
And she had many guests.
Yes, indeed. She loves it.
They play The Love Boat on Princess Cruises, so that is my...
Oh my god, that's so funny.
Yeah, that is how I know The Love Boat. If I didn't
know
that, I would
have
never
seen it. I know The
Love
Boat from Sister Act 2, when they try to... The girl doesn't know how to sing any fun songs because she's very lame. And then one of the nuns is like, do you know the Love Boat? And she's like, do you know Gilligan's Island? That's my cultural reference is Sister Act 2 for The Love Boat.
That's an excellent cultural reference for like anything, really.
Sister Act 2, it's my cultural touchstone. It's really what I base everything off of. if I can, and I find a way. So
I have a lot of respect for that.
I do my best. I do my best.
The taste level.
Impeccable. Whoopi is queen. What can we say?
In 1995.
I just like being back in the habit. Okay, I'm done.
Sorry. I'm so sorry. I don't mean it. It's Zoom. It's like you can't tell when somebody's like trailing off because there's like the delay.
No, it's not your fault. I'm just piling on to nothing. So it's fine.
Sometimes I feel like I am the unfun host because I'm like, and moving on, and we're going to... enough, Carly. Enough. We've got to get on.
Carly,
we've got to get on.
About nothing again.
We're
no,
coming up to an hour. We can't go over an hour.
Someone has to stay on task.
Yeah, but in 1995, she stars as Rose in the television adaptation of the 1960 Broadway musical Bye Bye Birdie.
Oh, yes. She totally does.
Because she is a Broadway legend. She went to musical theater school.
She sure did. She actually, the year before, replaced Cheetah Rivera on Broadway in Kiss of the Spider Woman.
Yes.
Yeah. Just to jump into the stage part of her stage and screen.
Yeah.
Real quick.
In my notes, I kind of separated them, so I'm... I was going to get there, Carly.
But it makes sense why she would be in a movie version. I'm just trying to put it out there.
She got Little Canadian Connection. She was cast in Kiss of the Spider Woman because she was talking to Garth Drabinski about starring in a show in Toronto at the time, because Garth... Drabinski is, of course, a big theater producer in Toronto. There's a bit of a story there, but we'll save it for another time. But that role didn't end up working out, but he was also a producer on Kiss of the Spider Woman and thought that she would be a great replacement for the beautiful Cheetah Rivera.
No
love
way.
It for her.
We love it.
And then, of course, one of her big films of the 90s was Soul Food.
Yes.
Like a giant soap opera of a movie, but it's brilliant. It's on Disney Plus if you have a chance.
This is actually a really funny thing. So the name Vanessa Williams also belongs to another actress.
Yes.
So there is Vanessa L. Williams, who we are talking about now, and Vanessa E. Williams. And of course, so there's also during the Miss America thing, they sent the Macy's Day Thanksgiving Parade sent a check to Vanessa L. Williams, who appeared in the parade, to Vanessa E. Williams. And so Vanessa E. Williams, of course, sent the check to Vanessa L. Williams. No big issues. But also, just going on the soul food, so our Vanessa Williams, say, starred in the film version of it, but Vanessa E. Williams starred in a TV series adaptation of the same film. So, they both have starred in
Just to
Soul
keep
Film.
It confusing.
It didn't make it easy.
Yeah, not to make it easy.
I don't think they played the same characters. So they
That's
did at
true.
Least separate that up, but nevertheless, didn't make it easy for the public.
So the movie that I was talking about that I was watching when I was younger was Dance With Me. So that was my introduction to Vanessa Williams being a little ballroom dancer. We love it.
I only saw that one recently, actually, but it's a fun one. It's a good little rom-com, a little '90s rom-com. Or, you know, if you're a dancer, then it really means even more to you.
There you go.
Let's talk about some of her films, her TV stuff, and then maybe we'll get into some of her theater stuff after, just so that we're not jumping back and forth too much.
Love it.
But I want to talk about, to me, what her most iconic role is. I might be skipping a few things, because she's done a lot. But to me, her most iconic role is Wilhelmina Slater in Ugly Betty. I was going to say Devil's Wears Prada. That's awful. That's awful of me.
She was great as Miranda Priestly. Fantastic.
She was great. Why is no one ready? They basically play, they're very similar roles, Wilhelmina to Miranda.
Yeah, I'd like to see them in the same room.
Floral whispering, groundbreaking.
Okay, my little weird thought, because I've recently rewatched all of Ugly Betty, is that mode is supposed to be Vogue, but yet Vogue exists in the Ugly Betty universe because they do talk about Vogue, but whenever they need another magazine to directly put up against, it's always Elle, not because in real life it's Vogue and Elle are the two. And because mode is supposed to be more like a Vogue, they always use Elle as the opposite.
That is interesting. I wonder what was going on in that writer's room. Yeah.
But that show was absolutely brilliant. Ugly Betty, it's like probably one of the best shows of the 2000s.
It's pretty iconic for sure.
My
favorite Vanessa Williams encounter is in one of her over 25 movies. One of them is she's in Hannah Montana, the movie.
Yes!
Which I forgot that she was in until I was reading her Wikipedia page today, and I was like, oh my god, she is! Incredible. Of course, she's also in the celebrated, the loved Desperate Housewives.
Yes.
The iconic.
I thought that was a perfect fit for her.
She saved the later seasons. Yeah, it really worked well for her.
I've seen
you guys watch
episodes.
Desperate Housewives like the whole season? Or
I've
whole
been
season?
Trying to watch it this whole pandemic, and I've watched maybe 4 episodes, so I'm doing great. I'm really moving it through it.
You know what? It may not be for you.
I just forget I'm watching
and to be,
it, which is, I think, a me problem.
Yeah.
The show. The show is great.
No, to be fair, like, I don't know if I'd want to go back, because I feel like it was on, it served its time. It was great for its time period, but I don't know if it belongs in modern times anymore. I'd be interested to watch it again and see how it holds up. But she especially, because she came in the last 2 seasons, I think, and she replaced Nicolette Sheridan's character, not the same character,
dynamic.
But like she filled in the spot that, exactly. And it fit like a glove. It was fantastic. Her character is so good. Her character is very similar to Wilhelmina, but I'm not mad about that. I wouldn't mind seeing Wilhelmina in every TV show.
Just to go back to Wilhelmina for a second, because I was listening to Bianca Del Rio's pod. Sorry, I have so much information. I just want to share all my fun facts.
We love
it. I'm sorry, I wasn't finished. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
It's my podcast. Thanks. Yeah. So the agent, sorry, the producers of Ugly Betty wanted her for Wilhelmina. She didn't even audition, but her father had just died unexpectedly. So she was like, I need family time. I can't deal with this right now. So she told her agents that if they wanted her, they'd have to call her from the Nile because she was on a river cruise of Egypt at the time, where I think she eventually meets her husband. Side facts. So they go with another actress. So for the pilot, Charlotte Ross was originally cast as Wilhelmina Slater, but during the read-through, the producers were like, this is not right. This is not who we want for this role. So then after the pilot was shot, they decided that they weren't going to, if they were going to move to series, they wouldn't go with the actress they had cast, Charlotte Ross. There's a little bit, different sources say different things. Some say that she left, others say that she was let go. But conjecture, decide for yourself. But then they asked her if she wanted to be a part of it, and she was like, yes, great, this shoots in New York, it's perfect, my family's in New York, I can raise my kids. And then they moved the show to LA, so she turned it down. And so just going back to the negotiation table, and they eventually did get her, and I think this is responsible for her in the modern zeitgeist, why we know who Vanessa Williams is. Personally, I think without this, she would not have had Desperate Housewives that we were talking about previously.
No, I mean, it definitely did bring her, I think, for a whole other generation. It definitely brought her to the forefront for a whole other generation, or like a brand new audience that she wouldn't have gotten otherwise. So
yeah,
we're all glad she took it. And then in season 4, yes, I think, of Ugly Betty, they moved production back to New York. So it all worked out for her in the end.
She also nominated twice for an Emmy Award. And I think what I think is brilliant about her in this role as Wilhelmina is that she's the villain and she is evil, but you don't hate her. She's funny. She's likable. And that's the best villains are. I like all the villains.
Yeah. She's like an anti-hero. Mad Men who? It's Wilhelmina. She's the anti-hero
she's
we
the
care about
in
the 2000s.
Indeed, thank you.
But yeah, she's done a lot of great work. And yes, her in the Hannah Montana movie, iconic.
Yeah.
Iconic. Like, I can't believe how much that fell out of my brain, but I'm glad that it fell back in today. It's so good.
Isn't our folklore Queen Taylor also in the Hannah Montana movie? If I remember correctly.
Yeah, is she not?
Yeah, I believe she is.
Hold on. Maybe we gotta revisit this movie. Because, like,
on next week's episode, the Hannah Montana movie.
Well, someone else needs to visit it for the first time, maybe.
The movie. Also, yeah, Hannah Montana : the movie.
Yeah, Taylor Swift plays herself.
Of course. Yeah, she shows up. She's like, it's me, Taylor, y'all. Yes. What a treat!
Good for her.
Oh.
And for the comic book fans listening, she voiced Amanda Waller in the animated film Batman.
Yes,
Hush.
That's very true.
Yeah, you're there such you a go. Comic book fan. So,
she really is.
Yeah. That is a fact that will go nowhere, but just throwing it out there.
She
anyway.
Reaches all kinds of people, and that's amazing. Yeah. We love that for her.
I was just watching that movie like earlier this year during the pandemic, and then I heard her voice, and I was like, Wilhelmina? It too.
My favorite TV appearance of hers, though, is recent, maybe, but it was when she was on RuPaul's Secret Celebrity Drag
Race. I was
right?
just gonna say that.
I yes. just when she Vanquisha De House, that was her name, and she did just that, you know, she Vanquisha De House.
And she donated her money to the Trevor Project.
Vanquisha De House.
She's so cute. Again, a strong ally who we love. We love to see it.
Huge ally,
And she, yeah, of course, she won. Surprise. No surprise here. No surprise there.
She's a good friend of Drag Race because she's been a judge a couple of times, I think. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, she's also been a judge. And Rue was on Ugly Betty.
Yes.
That's right.
Not in drag because you have to pay extra for that. Sure.
Ugly Betty had all the guest stars. Like, who didn't want to be on? I mean, one of my personal favorites was when Victoria Beckham was Wilhelmina's maids of honor.
But then she locks her in a closet. Yes. Sorry, spoilers.
Spoilers! Not the Ugly Betty spoilers!
It's been on the air for 10 years. If you haven't seen it, that's on you.
Crud. Okay, I really need to rewatch the show. I haven't watched it since it went off air, and I need to rewatch it because it was truly one of my favorite shows at the time. So need to get back into that.
So we should mention she's also, as we were mentioning before, with the Kiss of the Spider Woman, she's also a Broadway legend and has been.
She is a Broadway baby. She is an icon.
And she has been nominated for a Tony for her role as the witch in the revival of Stephen Sondheim's Into the Woods.
I was just going to bring that up. The witch is like one of my favorite musical characters. Totally. And it was just exciting to see her in that role. She did a good job with it. I like her version of The Last Midnight, but I'll let you theater kids debate that.
You're a theater kid too.
I feel like I'm like on the periphery of theater kid because I've never actually like been in a musical before. But, I'm a fan of musical theater. I've done opera. We'll go with that.
It's like the dad of musical theater.
That counts. I'm saying
the dad of musical theater.
Musical theater has three parents, and it's opera, ballet, and just theater.
Just straight on theater. Yeah, that's true.
So we'll take that by association.
I love too in this Bianca podcast. She just calls Stephen Sondheim Stephen the whole time. I was like, that is amazing. Steven. Just to call Stephen Sondheim Stephen. Stevie.
I would love to be Stevie. on a first name basis with Stephen Sondheim. Hey Steve.
I wouldn't know what to do with myself. I once saw him walking out of a stage door when I was in New York City, and my jaw dropped, and I couldn't even get my phone out to be like, hello, Stephen Sondheim. I just watched him hobble down because he's ancient in the,
oh my God.
In an amazing way because he's 300 years old. And he left. And I was like, that was Stephen Sondheim. And my face was stuck this way, just glazed over look for like an hour and a half.
I mean, relatable. Yeah. Totally relatable.
Shocking.
She also appeared in the 2002 Kennedy Center special performance of Carmen Jones as Carmen Jones. So she sung Puccini. Opera reference, because Carmen Jones has the same music as Carmen.
There you go.
They just updated the lyrics.
Isn't Carmen not Puccini? Carmen's Bizet, right?
I don't know. I'll let that to the. Let me check. Let me look it up right now. Let me check.
Thank you.
You might totally be correct. You're way more correct than me. Carmen Opera. You can keep that in.
No, it's Bizet. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm gonna Bizet, retake yeah, that. Bizet, no, yeah. You can 100%. Leave it in. I don't care.
Okay. Yeah, because it's French. Yeah.
Yeah, but isn't Puccini is Italian, right?
Yeah.
Sounds Italian.
Yeah.
Puccini.
Puccini. Canceled
by all the Italians right there. Carly, am I canceled? You're Italian.
There goes our Italian audience.
No, okay. I'll accept you. I'll accept you. Our whole one. It's me. I'll accept you. Fine.
So yeah, I think we've covered a lot of her amazing career. She also has a fashion line. V by Vanessa Williams.
Yeah, she does.
She sung
Legends,
the national anthem at the Super Bowl in 2000. No, sorry, that's not right. Cut that.
96. I think 96 she sang.
She did a commercial for the Super Bowl in 2012. That's what I was reading, but I also knew she sung it. I mixed my facts up. I do that sometimes.
You're human. It's okay.
And she was a spokeswoman for L'Oreal. As part of their Age Perfect campaign, alongside fellow ambassadors Helen Mirren, Julianne Moore, and Jane Fonda.
What a list of names.
Wasn't she like one of the first black women that was a spokesperson for L'Oreal as well?
I don't know if she's one of the first, but she was a spokeswoman for L'Oreal for sure. Breaking boundaries. Oh, this was a fun fact that I found out, and it's something that I use whenever a theater actor, often you book jobs and rebound, so that means somebody else got the job, and then they didn't take it, so then you get the job. And sometimes you don't feel great about yourself when you get jobs that way. But if you're ever not feeling great, know that Vanessa Williams was originally offered the leading role in Monsters Ball that eventually went to Halle Berry, and Halle Berry won the Oscar for that.
That's right, yeah.
So there you go. Just because you're second choice doesn't mean that you
doesn't mean
the best
that it
choice.
Wasn't meant for you.
Actually, and yeah. And even beyond second choice, because I think Angela That's Bassett right. also turned that role down as well. So
yes, yes, Ashley, I read that too.
Yeah.
But finally came to Halle Berry, and then she won the Oscar.
Because you're an alternate.
And we had the iconic
she won the
Halle
Oscar.
Berry
she was the
Oscar
first black woman to win lead actress in a movie at the Oscars.
Yeah.
Best,
in a movie. The Oscars only recognize movies. It's not the Golden Globes. Last little thing about Vanessa Williams' personal life is that she's been married 3 times. So, originally to Robin Harvey II, and they were married in 1987 and divorced in 1997. And there were some financial issues that he kept control of most of her money and spent a lot of it on construction and stuff like that. So then in her next marriage, she married Rick Fox, who was a basketball player. And they kept their finances.
By the way. Just throwing that out there.
they kept their finances completely separate because of her previous marriage. But they eventually divorced.
Understandable.
Yes.
And smart.
They eventually divorced in 2004, and it was because they were leading completely separate lives because she was raising kids on the East Coast as he played basketball on the West Coast. And finally, she's married to Jim. I have a hard time with pronouncing his name. It's not even that weird, but Skrip. Skrip.
I mean, that's how you pronounce it phonetically, let's go with that.
Yeah, let's go with that.
I bought it.
Buy that.
And he is a businessman from Buffalo, and they are married to this day. And she has 4 kids, 3 with her first husband, 1 with her second husband, I believe. But she has good relationships with all her exes, and she describes in an Ellen interview having Thanksgiving with both of her exes, and that one of them cooked dinner and the other one cleaned up dinner. And at one point in her life, she had 1 in the guest room and 1 in the basement because she had good relationships with both of them so that her kids could have a normal upbringing. So she is
an awesome
mom.
Good for her. All class.
But she's not an awesome mom in Ugly Betty. Just saying.
It all comes back to Ugly Betty.
It always does.
All comes back to Ugly Betty.
She also has a star on Hollywood's Walk of Fame. So, you know, her status as an icon, as a legend, is, you know, literally set in stone. So.
Yeah. 100%.
We love it. All right. Well, Matt, that brings us back to today's time period. So, do you have any pop picks for us? What do you recommend? What should we be watching, listening to?
I was thinking about this because I do listen to, I'm a frequent listener of your podcast, and I was like, what will my pop picks be? And I'm going to keep it in the family of Vanessa Williams and say, if you haven't listened to her daughter, Jillian Hervey's band Lion Babe, they're pretty fantastic. They're one of my favorites. I think they have 3 albums now, so Lion Babe, check them out.
That's so good.
Awesome.
Music talent runs in the family.
And Carly, what are your pop picks for the week?
Sure. So I scrambled my brain, and I realized maybe I don't turn over my pop picks quick enough, because all my pop picks that I picked last week, I was like, that's what I would pick this week. But then I scrambled my brain a little more, and I realized, you know what I haven't talked about is one of my favorite YouTube channels. So I like to watch a lot of weird stuff on YouTube. Some of it is costume historians or dress historians, which, why do I watch that? I hardly can sew. I don't know. I just love it. So one of these wonderful women is Bernadette Banner. She's incredible. And
I love her stuff.
She's the best. She's the best. There's a whole bunch I love, which I can get into some many days.
I love some of her recreations.
Her recreations, last year she at one point did a dress made out of toilet paper. It was one of like a Met Gala dress she recreated in toilet paper because she was like, this is really funny and topical. And she always is really good at delving into various eras in history. And I watch her recreate all kinds of cool stuff like stays and corsets. And one time I watched her wash her hair as a Victorian woman for a week. It was amazing, you know. So she's a dress historian, which is like a relatively newer realm for historians, because a lot of times throughout history, dress historians and women have just been, you know, ignored. So typically a lot of dress historians are women. And there's a whole huge community on YouTube, which I am recently, over the past year, discovering, full of people that just look at history through the lens of what people wear. And it is incredible. And Bernadette Banner is one of my top picks all time. She's also just an incredible and entertaining storyteller as well. And she's very soothing. Like, if you want something like to watch that's calming and nice and you'll learn something, I highly recommend her YouTube channel.
Check that out.
Awesome. And my pop pick of the week, no surprise here. So the BBMAs, the BBMAs were last night at the time of recording. And of course, my favorite seven boys did a performance of their new song, Butter. And it is pretty incredible. So go check out both the music video and the live stage of it. I'm not ashamed to say I'm a BTS ARMY over here.
Oh, you say it loud, you say it proud every week, baby. I'm just proud of you every for week. Saying it and admitting it. It's the first step, you know?
Nothing so, to be ashamed of
we
there.
We love it. Yeah.
We love it. We respect it.
And Matt, do you have anything you want to plug?
Yeah.
Nothing. I mean, I have an Instagram page. I'm not the most active on social media, but if you want to, you can find me on Matthew S. Robertson on Instagram. And I will hopefully be posting some new cover, some new original content very soon.
Yes, we love that.
Beautiful.
Well, I want to thank our amazing guest, Matthew. Thank you so much.
This was so much fun. Thank you so much for having me.
As I predicted, a true treat. So I didn't speak too early earlier. I'm glad that. But also, I mean, I knew it would be. So thank you for being here.
Too kind. No, I had a blast. Thank you so much for having me, guys.
This has been before there were hashtags. I can't say it straight today. I'm having a hard time.
It's a lot of words sometimes, you know?
Before there were hashtags. You can find us on Instagram and rate and subscribe. We really appreciate it. Helps us grow the pod. Thanks so much, friends. Peace.
Bye.
Bye.
They can't hear you blow a kiss, Matt. It's a verbal medium. You have to talk.
Sorry. My bad.
No,
I don't understand how platforms work.
Keep this in the pod, by the way, Carly. Bye.
Thanks for joining us this week on Before There Were Hashtags. We, Carly and Eric, are going to take ourselves a nice 2-week break because we've put out a solid 2 digits of episodes so far. Yes, that's right. This is episode 10. And to reward ourselves for, you know, getting this far, making this benchmark, we have decided to just take a little rest, rejuvenate, ruminate on some exciting new topics to bring to you. And don't worry, we're not going anywhere, but we'll see you in 2 weeks.